You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News is next. The time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Rebel forces continue to close in on Cambodia's capital. Heavy shelling of the airport continues. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. A dispatch by the Khmer Rouge Insurgents News Agency monitored in Hong Kong says the rebels have killed or wounded 900 government troops in recent fighting and are moving in on the airport from all sides. Dennis Cameron, one of the few remaining American journalists in Phnom Penh, gave CBS News this report.
Phnom Penh's airport is virtually closed to all aircraft except for military traffic. At least 50 rockets hit the airport during daylight hours on Sunday. Two C-28 fighter bombers were destroyed during the day's bombardment, and the pilots of both planes were killed. A military source told me that the Air Force base commander and his adjutant fled to Thailand in a pair of T-28s, but this report is not yet confirmed. In spite of a statement by Washington that air supplies to Phnom Penh would recommence, there is still no sign of any American aircraft within sight of the capital. Dennis Cameron for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
Cameron also said there are unconfirmed reports that the Cambodian government has one or two divisions in Vietnam, troops trained there by the U.S. Special Forces, and may try to move them back into Cambodia in a desperate effort to halt a rebel takeover. More news in a moment.
For 3 years, I worked as an electrical draftsman for one of the biggest outfits in the world, the Army. They trained me, and I loved it. Now I work in a gas station. All I do is pump gas. I pick up some extra money on weekends moving furniture. It's all I can find right now.
Veterans aren't just old soldiers. They're disciplined, mature men and women. Some are highly skilled, but sometimes they can't find the job they were trained for. You can find them through Job Service, the fast, modern employment service that brings people and jobs together. For 40 years, Job Service has been serving employers while helping veterans without charging a fee. Call Job Service. Hiring veterans isn't only patriotic, it's smart business.
We're working to get people working.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Fighting continued Sunday on two important fronts in South Vietnam. The government claims it reopened Highway 4, the road linking Saigon with the Mekong Delta, a vital highway used to transport rice to the capital. The road was cut yesterday by the communists. The Saigon command also reported driving back a communist assault on Zuan Loc, the important provincial capital 38 miles northeast of Saigon, but heavy fighting is still reported in that area. Several senators over the weekend criticized the U.S. government for not getting the remaining 6,000 American citizens out of South Vietnam now. Some question has been raised whether President Ford has the legal authority to send in American troops for such an evacuation. Senator Jacob Javits, Republican of New York, says Congress has not deprived the president of that authority.
The Constitution, which in the debates on the War Powers Resolution, and in the proceedings in the conference, made it clear that the president could not be deprived, and we didn't seek to deprive him, of constitutional power. That power, in my judgment, includes the power to evacuate American nationals in this kind of a war situation.
But Javits says the president would need a congressional resolution to use American troops to evacuate an estimated 200,000 Vietnamese. The administration fears would be in danger if the communists take over. Senator Javits appeared Sunday on the CBS News broadcast, Face the Nation. A bloody battle broke out Sunday just outside Beirut, Lebanon, between members of a right-wing political party and some Palestinian guerrillas. 29 persons were reported killed and 19 others wounded in the fighting. The Palestinian news agency claims that the Lebanese opened fire on a busload of refugees. The Lebanese rightists say the Palestinians had fired on worshippers at a church in a Beirut suburb. The Lebanese involved in the fighting are members of a group opposing the presence of armed Palestinians in Lebanon. More news after this word.
The American woman is a business executive, a housewife, an author, a judge, a star athlete. In other words, the American woman is what she wants to be. And on the CBS News broadcast series, The American Woman, we report on and talk to women we're sure you'll find interesting. I'm Sylvia Chase, CBS News, a regular contributor to this series on the achievements and dilemmas of women in today's society. Listen for The American Woman, Monday through Saturday on most of these stations of the CBS radio network.
Don?
Hey, what's all the crying about?
I just want the baby to be born all right.
Oh, hey, it'll be all right. You've been taking good care of yourself. I know
the time to worry about your first pregnancy is long before it happens, when your body is preparing itself for what it will have to go through. Find out what your body needs before you become pregnant. Write for the book, Food is More Than Just Something to Eat. Right Nutrition, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Hey, why are you crying?
Because I'm so happy. That's silly.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
More rain is expected in northwest Florida during the next several hours, where the flooded Choctahatchee River crested on Sunday. The waters are starting to recede, but more people were evacuated from their homes as a precaution. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, AM and FM. Considerable cloudiness with chance of showers through Tuesday, partly sunny during the afternoons, however. The highs in the lower 50s tomorrow, mid-50s on Tuesday, and lows in the 30s. In downtown Seattle, it's 45 degrees, 43 at the airport. The barometer steady, it reads 29.98. And taking a look at sports briefly, Major League Baseball today in the National League, Philadelphia over St. Louis, Pittsburgh dumped the New York Mets, Chicago beat Montreal, San Francisco took two from Atlanta, Los Angeles defeated Houston, Cincinnati blanked San Diego. In the American League, the New York Yankees and Detroit divided a doubleheader, Baltimore beat Boston, Kansas City beat Minnesota, Cleveland over Milwaukee, Chicago down California twice, and Oakland and Texas rained out. Jack Nicklaus won his record fifth Masters golf title, beating Tom Weisskopf and Johnny Miller by one stroke at the Augusta National Golf Course in Georgia. It's 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Over and over, the philosophers ask the same questions. In all times, in all places, for all men, the mysteries remain. What is life? What is death? From whence do we come and where do we go? The ignorant, barbaric savage bows to the sun and says, "Behold, God." Whereas we, sophisticated, civilized, consider the sun as energy expressed in formulae and equations. But do we really know any more about the sun than he does?
Okay, Georgie, the case is closed.
No, Captain Prescott, the case is still wide open.
But we got the killer.
We don't have the killer.
We don't... 100 people saw him pick up that knife and stab her with it.
He didn't do it.
Not only did 100 people see him do it, he also admits he did it.
I still say he didn't do it.
Are you telling me that 101 people are crazy?
I don't care what they saw. He did not kill his wife.
Okay. I'll go along with it. Who did?
The high priest of the Wolf Clan.
Is that right? Who is this high priest?
I don't know.
Oh, so you don't know. Do you maybe know where we could find him?
You can't find him. That's impossible.
Oh? Is it? Why?
He's been dead for maybe 1,000 years. But he's your killer, Captain.
Our mystery drama, The Night of the Wolf, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside your feet, inside your feet. inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free, inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
You feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk. Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead. Its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk. Catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. For
Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
We are in a bright, bustling city in our own Southwest. A new city, but an old settlement. Almost 100 years before the Pilgrims landed in Massachusetts, the Spanish adventurers came here in quest of gold. And when they found none, they went away. After a while, the conquistadors were succeeded by a new breed of explorers who understood that gold doesn't have to be hard and yellow. Gold can also be liquid and black. And thus, a new city was built here. A gleaming city of metal and glass. A new city, but not the first city. For thousands of years, men of many kinds and various colors have built cities here. Cities that have flourished and vanished. Right now, it is an early evening during the spring, and we find ourselves in a museum gallery, which features an exhibition of the primitive cultures of those early years.
Terry.
Yeah?
Fix your top shirt button.
But it's hot in here.
Close your collar and pull up your tie. You look like an ape.
Okay.
Don't embarrass me in front of my friends. Oh, hello, Colonel McKeever. Hello. Terry, don't look so bored.
Ian, I don't look like nothing.
A little culture won't kill you.
Why do you make me come to these things, Ian?
Because everyone who is anyone is here.
Yeah, okay.
And you're not to touch a drop.
Now, look.
You are to keep away from the refreshment table. Do you understand?
Yeah.
In a moment, Colonel. Colonel McKeever wants to ask me something. Terry, can I trust you to stay here?
Of course.
Don't wander off and make a fool of yourself, and don't touch a drop of liquor.
Okay.
Terry? Terry? Oh. Why do I always have to look for you? Colonel McKeever wants to talk with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry, what are you staring at? What's so fascinating about that shabby old thing? It looks like a little old lady's faded bathrobe.
Well, it isn't.
Oh, of course it isn't. I can read. Ancient ceremonial robe. Said to belong to a high priest of the Wolf Clan. Possibly Mojave or kindred tribe. Well, what's so all-fired interesting about it?
Shut up.
What did you say?
I said, shut up.
Do you mean you're telling me to...
Who says I can't tell you to shut up?
I warn you, Terry, do not make a scene.
You know something? I think I will make a scene.
Terry, have you gone mad?
Maybe.
Let's get out of here quickly. We won't even wait for the car to come.
We won't?
We'll hail a cab, and I'll take you.
And what?
I'll take you to a doctor.
Why?
Because something has come over you.
Maybe something has.
People are starting to stare at us.
Well, so what?
Terry!
You! Hey, you over there! What are you looking at?
Terry, you're embarrassing me.
Hey, I mean you! You, the fat slob with a face like a pig!
Terry, it's Colonel McKeever.
What's the matter with
you? Terry, we've got to leave here.
Enid, we ain't going nowhere.
I demand that you...
Shut up! Well, what are you looking at, huh? You know me? I'm Terry Jessup. 10 years all-pro middle linebacker till I busted my knee. And I got so scared that I had to marry this rich broad.
Terry, you've gone mad.
I let her father buy me. I let her old man buy me.
Terry,
and break
you're
me.
Drunk.
You ruined me. You ruined me, you and your old man. You used me. My name, my reputation, you used me to sell that crooked stock of yours, those dry wells.
Please, somebody, call an ambulance.
I haven't got a real friend in the world because of you.
Oh, he's terribly ill.
That's why I'm going to kill you.
Oh, help me.
Don't anybody make a move. I'll break anybody in half who tries to stop me.
Gary, put down that knife.
Sacrificial knife, 1,000 years old. Still good.
No, Terry, don't.
Still got a point.
No,
look, the point, it's still good.
Oh, that's terrible.
He killed her.
I told you. Yeah. I killed her. Maybe somebody ought to call the cops.
I don't know why, Lieutenant. I don't know.
Just answer this. How long have you wanted to do it?
Why, I never wanted to do it. I just...
Yeah?
Well, something just came over me, that's all.
That's not true.
I swear, Lieutenant...
No, you forget. You killed her in front of 100 witnesses. You said that her old man bought you.
I never said any such thing.
Now, don't fight it, Terry. 100 people heard you.
But I don't remember saying it.
Do you believe it?
No, I don't believe it. Why would I...
You said they used you to sell a phony stock.
Well, how could
I... Terry, I wouldn't say this if I didn't get it from people who were standing there. You said that you lost all your real friends because of them.
It's crazy.
That's what you said.
Well, how could I say a thing like that? I was in love with her.
Still in awe, Terry. You killed her. Why?
I don't know. I was so much in love with her, Lieutenant. I mean it. She was the kind of woman that I wanted all my life. Girl with class.
Sure. But those words you said to her, that anger that made you say them, where did the words and the anger come from?
I'm telling you, I don't know, Lieutenant. I must have been out of my head.
Sure.
Something came over me.
What?
I got scared. It was like nothing I ever felt before.
Like what?
Something in that place. Just something in that museum. Something wild.
Come on, Terry. What could be wild in a museum?
It was like something set my mind on fire. And the words that everybody heard me say, I didn't even know I was saying them.
And did you know you killed her?
It was like something had to be driven out of me. You understand?
No.
Something that was wrong. Something that had to die and... And if she wasn't standing there, I would have killed myself.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something in that place.
Sure.
Believe me. You gotta believe me.
I'm not the one who has to believe you. A judge and a jury has to believe you.
It's in that place, Lieutenant. Something is in that place.
Now, Miss Atkins, you were here last night. You saw what happened.
I've already told you, Lieutenant.
Terry Jessup says that something came over him.
Oh, I'm sure something did.
He says something in this place, something here in this museum, drove him wild.
Something in here?
Yes, Miss Atkins. Now, what is there here that could do
that? Look for yourself. We have pictures on the walls. We have some sculptures, some artifacts.
Has anything unusual ever happened here before?
Well, now, what unusual thing could ever happen in a museum?
Yeah, that's what I figured. Well, Miss Atkins, I guess that's all.
Although...
Yes?
Well, this is of absolutely no use to you in terms of last night, but Well, we did have an incident here, well, 3 weeks ago. We had a fist fight.
A what?
Uh-huh. There were a party of four. Two men, two women. And suddenly, the men started a violent fight. Unfortunately, the guards were able to restrain them.
Well, what did you do?
Well, the guard hustled them out of the building. But the two men kept going at it on the street. Finally, the police came.
And then what?
Well, I don't know. It's just that you asked me about unusual things. And since we have so few of them, well, almost anything would stick in my memory. Yes, it was exactly 3 weeks ago. And then there was another incident.
When?
Well, that's the peculiar thing about it. It was just about... No, it was exactly 3 weeks before that.
You sure?
Yes, I remember because it was the first of the month. And the first day of this special early American Indian exhibit.
What happened?
Well, there was a man. And he was standing right where Jessup was standing. And also right where those other two men were standing. The exact same spot.
And?
He was an elderly, dignified, well-dressed man. And all of a sudden he shouted, "I'm wrong, I wasted my life." And with that, he emptied his pockets. He threw his watch and his ring and all his money away. And then he started to take off his clothes.
And then what?
Well, the guards just restrained him, and he was taken to the hospital. So, well, all I can deduce from all of this is that every 3 weeks for the last 9 weeks, we've had some kind of violent situation. Does any of this help you?
It's interesting, but I don't see where it can take us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry you couldn't learn anything, Lieutenant Miller. Do you have any further questions?
Just one. What time do you get off?
6.
That's exactly 15 minutes from now.
Mm-mm. Your watch is slow. It's less than 10.
How about some dinner?
I thought you'd never ask.
Georgie?
Yeah, it's me. Did I wake you?
Oh, no. Had you supper?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
Oh, I don't know. I just grabbed a sandwich on the run.
Oh, you shouldn't do that, Georgie. You've got to have a balanced diet. That's why I'd like you to eat at home when I can make sure.
Okay, Myra.
Did you put the money in the checking account? Georgie, you got to talk to Jerry. He won't do his homework, and the teacher sent home another note. Ginny has to see an orthodontist, I think.
Okay. I'll take care of everything.
When?
Starting Sunday. I get 3 days off.
No, but you never take your time off.
I can't just walk off in the middle of a case, Myra.
Where were you tonight?
Where was I tonight? Where do you think I was tonight? I was with some beautiful blonde. We had cocktails and dinner. Then we went dancing afterwards at a nightclub. And then we wound up the evening in her bachelor pad.
I'm sorry, Georgie. Oh, I know it sounds like I'm nagging you all the time, but there's just too much for me to do around here, all by myself.
I know, but, honey, once I make captain, you'll see everything will be okay.
You used to say that before you made lieutenant.
Yeah, but just wait. Everything will work out.
Sure, I know it will. I'll tell you what. I'll make us a snack, and we can sit up and talk.
Now, honey, I'm beat. It's been a long, long day, and I got to get an early start in the morning. You understand?
Sure, Georgie. I understand.
That's what we need in this world. More understanding wives. Well, we've been weaving several threads here, and it seems that the museum appears to be central to all of them. And this museum will have a few more interesting, if somewhat deadly, exhibits on display for us when I return shortly with Act Two.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear.
hear it talking?
And when you say but, you say you care.
Bush, St. Louis.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's, oh my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used, and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The other night, Terry Jessup, an ex-football player who was considered to be, for all his size, a rather calm and gentle person, suddenly went berserk and murdered his wife. This came as a surprise for two reasons. First, everyone had always assumed that he worshipped her. Second, he killed her in a museum, of all places.
You going to be home for supper, Georgie?
I don't know, Myra. I'll have to call you.
Why don't I just figure you won't be, as usual?
That might be best.
Well, promise me you'll eat.
Sure.
Honey, you're at the age where a man can start to get all kinds of things wrong if he doesn't watch himself.
I'll take care of myself, Myra. Look, honey, I know you got the kids all day in the house, but,
But what? Oh, it's just how it works out. You've got your job. I have to put up with it.
Well, that's just it. You say you have to put up with it.
Well, I do, don't I? Like these other men in this neighborhood, they have jobs out at 9, home at 5, Saturday and Sunday off. And that's it.
Well, you knew I didn't have that kind of job when you married me. You knew what life would be like on the force.
I also knew some 9-to-5 cops.
Yes, and you knew I wasn't one of them.
Honey, I just wish you didn't have to work so hard.
But I like to work hard. You know your problem?
I don't have a problem.
You should develop some interests.
I've got plenty to do around here.
No, I mean away from here. Something that you do for yourself. So you can also develop as a person.
Georgie, all I asked you was if you were coming home for supper.
I'll try.
Look, if we eat early, maybe you can help me paint the floor in the basement. Oh, honey, and the cold water faucet, the downstairs tub has to be fixed.
Look, I'll tell you what. You make a list of all that stuff, and I'll take care of it.
You know, Georgie, you never talk to me about your work. Maybe that's what's wrong with us.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with us.
Well, I was reading in a magazine, a wife should share more of what her husband does.
Well, you know about this football player who killed his wife.
Oh, if there's one sport that leaves me cold, it's football.
He says something in the museum made him do it.
What?
I guess you could say some spirit.
Oh, he must be crazy.
No, it could be true.
Georgie, are you crazy?
Honey, when you're a homicide detective, anything has to be considered.
Don't say a word of this to anybody else. They'll say you're nuts.
No, but there's evidence.
Evidence? How can there be evidence?
Other people.
Look, you can find nuts anywhere who will... Oh, honey, on your way home tonight, pick up a gallon of deck paint. Get a light gray, will you, dear? Don't forget.
No, I won't forget.
Hi.
Hello, Polly. You busy?
Swamped.
Maybe I better come back another time.
Oh, you do that.
I shouldn't be here, Polly.
I won't say a word.
We agreed last night It couldn't. It mustn't go anywhere.
Oh, yes. We agreed.
That last night would have to be the end of it.
I know.
But the real reason I'm here is this, this does happen to be the scene of the crime.
That's true.
Something in this place made Terry Jessup kill his wife, made those other people go crazy.
Something?
I don't know too much about it, but it could be some kind of spirit. You think I'm crazy?
No.
Now, the way I figure it, these tribes, you know, they believed in magic. It was their religion. Maybe there was some truth in it for them. And so...
Well, go ahead.
And so these things, these knives and clothes and the things here, the magic could still be in them or on them or something. Now, you go ahead and call the guys in the white coats.
I'll do no such thing. I always believed in that myself.
But you're educated.
So are you.
I don't have the books.
You don't need the books. Come here.
Polly, it can't go anywhere.
Where does it have to go? It's already arrived.
Polly, can I see you tonight?
Why do you feel you have to ask?
Captain Prescott. Oh. Yeah, I'll see him. Morning, Georgie. Sit down.
Listen, Prescott, why am I being assigned to the Kenilworth thing?
Because it's a good live murder and just a job for a smart detective like you.
But I'm still with the museum killing.
What is it with you? Jessup is already in the cooler waiting for his trial. It's gone past
us. But we have to find out why he did it.
No, that's going to be for the psychiatrist to rumble about. What a field day those birds are going to have.
Look, I'm running down an angle.
Yeah?
At the museum.
Yeah, yeah. I know her name, too. Polly Atkins.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Georgie. Everybody knows about it. Everybody except Myra, maybe.
I don't know what's happened to me. Look, it's the first time I ever stepped out of line. You have to believe that.
Okay. I believe it.
And I didn't even plan it. I didn't even know I was doing it. I just asked her out before I could even think of what I was saying.
You still in love with Myra?
Yes.
Are you?
No, I don't know. It's all so mixed up. She's everything I ever wanted.
Who?
Polly. Cool, smart.
Sure. She doesn't have to worry about running a house and taking care of kids.
Yeah, I know all that, but I just have to have her, Prescott, that's all.
Where does it lead?
Nowhere. It's just free and easy and relaxed.
Where does it lead, Georgie?
I told you, nowhere.
That's not good enough for you. There are guys who can waltz in and out of these things with one dame after another. Not you.
Listen, Prescott.
Georgie, a thing like this is going to rip you apart.
I told you, it's just laughs.
You don't have that kind of humor. Break up with her.
I can't.
So it is serious.
Georgie,
break it up before it kills you.
What are you talking about?
I said my piece, Georgie.
Look, I've got this lead. Just give me a couple of more days to tie this one up.
Sure, sure.
Yes?
Mrs. Stanley Howarth?
Yes, but not for long, Brown Eyes. I've already had the paper served on big-hearted Stanley.
I'm a police officer.
Oh. Well, do come in.
Your husband, Mr. Stanley Howarth.
Do we have to talk about him?
About a month ago, you, your husband, and another couple, a Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Seeley.
Yeah, that's another great pair.
We're in the Museum of Indian Art.
I still don't know whose bright idea that was.
Suddenly, your husband and Mr. Seeley started swinging at each other. Why?
Why?
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Did anything happen that would have created a fight? They just couldn't start swinging at each other for no reason at all.
Well, the truth is, neither of them's a great intellect, if you know what I mean.
Could you just tell me everything that happened while you were in that museum?
You got a one-track mind. Well, let's see. I don't know why we went there. But Betty Seeley said, let's go for laughs. Shows you where she is. So we wander around, the whole thing's a drag, and I say, Stanley, let's take off, and he says, shut up.
Why?
Stanley's a man of few words, and those are two of them. Well, anyhow, everybody's saying to Stanley, let's go, but he's just standing there, staring at this thing that looks like a bathrobe.
A bathrobe?
Well, no, it ain't a bathrobe. It's one of those old Indian robes, and he's staring at it like he's hypnotized.
Yes?
So Andy Seeley puts his hand on Stanley's arm and says, let's go. And Stanley pushes him away and says, you're the one who ruined my life, and account of you, I'm a crook today.
What did he mean by that?
Well, Stanley and Andy, they're partners. And they put together deals. And all I can say is they never lose money.
Then what?
Oh, I never seen Stanley so mad. Or Andy either. Each accused the other guy of dragging him down. You know what I mean? I don't know what got into either of them. And they started slugging. I mean, they'd have killed each other. Well, it took the museum guards and the cops.
I know. They were booked and then released on bond. What happened later?
These two crazy guys, these two nuts, they actually gave away all their money.
What?
Well, fortunately, I got some of Stanley's in my name. But they spent days in the office investigating worthy causes. And they just got rid of all they owned.
Could I see your husband?
Yeah, sure. If you want to go to India to look for him.
He went to India?
Well, was it India or Africa? I don't know. Might have been South America.
Why?
To do good work. Can you tie a thing like that? Any wonder I want to ditch him?
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Howarth.
Anytime. And now that you know the way, don't be a stranger.
Terry, try to think.
I can't remember nothing, Lieutenant.
You were looking at something.
I don't remember.
Were you looking at anything special?
I can't recall.
Were you looking at a robe?
A robe?
Yes, a robe.
Well, I think maybe...
Try to remember. A robe, Terry. Would a robe mean anything to you?
Well, she wanted me to go away from the robe, but... Yeah, that's what she wanted me to do.
Is that why you killed her?
She said, what's so fascinating about that little old thing? It's like some old lady's bathrobe. Ancient ceremonial robe. High priest of the Wolf Clan. And she wanted me to go away from the robe, and so...
Yes?
The robe told me to kill her.
How could a robe tell you to kill her?
Well, it's what it told me.
You mean the robe was able to speak?
No. It wasn't in words. It was a force inside of me. Please, Lieutenant, please. But right now I feel so weak, so tired. I don't know what I'm saying. Please, let me alone.
What you're saying is crazy.
Okay, I killed her. Everybody saw me kill her. Now, I say that robe made me do it. You say it's crazy? Okay, it's crazy. Now, let me alone.
What does science have to say on the subject? Science, in its wisdom, states that matter cannot be destroyed. Philosophers agree in principle because they claim that ideas cannot be killed. So if there was something in that ceremonial robe originally, who is to say it isn't there yet? It's been there for 1,000 years, and it will still be there in a few moments when I return with Act 3.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well too, and you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people. Because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high near...
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
All cities are built on the ruins of others. And so what we have is not something that is brand new, but usually is just another layer. And if we dig into the ground, we find the things of those people who have come and gone before our time. But we don't have to dig to find the ideas and the forces and the spirits that move them. Those can be felt everywhere, especially by men and women who are waiting and hoping for something to change the course of their lives. Detective Lieutenant George Miller has been involved with people like that lately. As a matter of fact, Lieutenant Miller is in the midst of a change in his own life. He may or may not be aware of it.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Are you Mr. Kenneth Underwood?
Yes.
I'm a police detective. I was told at your apartment that you could be found here in the park.
Hmm. And now that you found me?
There was an incident at the museum.
A sudden aberration. Over and done with it.
Is that so? You were looking at that robe in the museum and you suddenly went... Well, I don't like to say crazy.
Sir, I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I think you do. It's happened twice again since. What can you tell me about that robe?
Why is it important?
A man killed his wife. The state of his mind at the time will decide the price he'll pay.
Hmm. I read about it. They'll say he was insane.
What about that robe?
It doesn't matter. Let us say that, some spirit emanated from that robe, possessed him. It'll amount to being crazy anyhow.
Why do you say an evil spirit?
I said a spirit. You said evil.
Well, isn't it evil if it causes a man to kill?
The robe. The spirit of the robe said to me, Kenneth Underwood.
Then you are saying there is a spirit in the robe.
Said to me, Kenneth Underwood, the gods gave you the gift of poetry. You've abused it, defiled it, cheapened it. And I did. And I thought I would die then and there. And the spirit said, will you throw off this illusion of fame and be true to your gift? And I said, yes. Yes. And a great weight was lifted from my heart because I meant it.
Do you expect me to believe this?
You asked me a question. I gave you an answer.
What kind of spirit?
Some days later, I returned to the museum. I examined the robe. There's a kind of design in it. I spoke to an authority on the ancient Indian cultures. He said it was the robe of the Wolf Clan's high priest.
That's what it says on the printed card.
The Wolf Clan. The clan responsible for the moral purity of the tribe.
Each month on the third night before the full moon, every adult member of the tribe had to pass before the high priest. It's called the Night of the Wolf. And if in any heart there's hidden a guilty secret, that secret springs forth, and it either kills that person or he must kill it. I killed mine, and so I've survived.
Going along with this, how do you account for those other two incidents?
Pure coincidence. People happened to be standing next to the robe on that particular night. I read about them in the paper. The two men, they killed their guilty secret.
What about Terry Jessup?
The football player. He couldn't kill his. He couldn't leave his wife. In his agony, he murdered her.
Do you expect me to believe this?
That's your option. But a week from next Monday, it will once again be three nights before the full moon. If you have a guilty secret, Lieutenant, I wouldn't advise you to stand near that robe. Not on the Night of the Wolf.
Myra?
Georgie, I didn't expect you.
What do you mean you didn't expect me?
Well, honey, you usually don't get home for dinner most nights.
Well, I always call. Where are the kids?
Oh, well, you know Tuesday's Jerry's night for the Cub Scouts. And Ginny's sleeping over at a friend's tonight. I didn't prepare anything.
That's okay. You want to go out and eat?
Well, no.
Okay, then. Let's just spend a quiet evening at home. We're entitled to it.
I don't know if I can, honey.
Why? What's the matter?
You said I should get myself an interest. I did.
What do you mean?
Oh, I took up bowling.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yes. We have a neighborhood league here. And tonight's our night. Actually, I was just on my way out the door.
Oh, well, then why don't you just go ahead?
Oh, you see, Georgie, I'm captain of the team. It's an important game.
I understand.
Otherwise, I'd call it off.
Now, sure, sure.
Look, I will call them and say that something has come up.
No, no. I'm going to turn in early anyhow.
Oh, you sure you don't mind?
Honey, you go out there and roll a 300 game for the old man.
Oh, silly. I'll be home early.
Glass of wine, George?
No, I don't need wine or anything else when I'm with you.
Thank you, sir.
Polly, what's going to happen to us?
What's supposed to happen?
I don't want it to end.
I don't want it to end either. So it won't end. Unless, of course, one of us changes his mind and then, well, that's it. Something's bothering you, George?
No. Well, every now and then, I can't help feeling what we're doing is wrong.
What we're doing happens to be what we both want to be doing.
But people don't just have the right to do what they want to do.
Why not?
Why not? Well, because.
Yes, because?
You know something? When I'm with you, I feel anything is possible. I mean, I'm not stuck in a rut. I just feel free.
Is that bad?
I don't know why. Half the time, I don't understand what you're saying.
Half the time, I don't understand what I'm saying either.
And you're not the best-looking dame I ever saw.
Oh, thank you. This is your night for gracious compliments.
But I just can't seem to get along without you.
So? Why fight it?
Who's fighting it?
You are. Every minute. From that very first minute I saw you.
I just decided I'm going to quit fighting it.
Starting when?
Starting right now. I'll show you.
I believe you.
How much longer you want to fool around with the museum murder case?
That's why I want to see you, Prescott. I want you to take me off it.
You're off. As of right now. What happened?
Nothing. I don't want to go near that place again.
Meaning what?
Meaning what I said.
Does that include Miss Polly Atkins?
Miss Polly Atkins is my affair.
That's very well put.
Look, what have you got for me to work on?
What I've got for you is 1 week's sick leave.
Sick leave?
You better take it.
Why?
You look terrible.
I never felt better in my life.
Don't hand me that, George. This thing with Polly is... it's killing you.
Are you out of your mind?
Down deep. You're hurting yourself. Badly. Because this thing... it's wrong.
Who says it's wrong?
Everything you were taught to believe since the day you were born says it's wrong.
That doesn't make it so.
It makes it so for you.
Don't you think I'm trying? I say I'll never see her again. But the next day...
let's not get confused with any of that. It's just wrong. That's all.
It can't be. It seems that the two of us, Polly and me, we just belong together.
Well, then divorce Myra and marry Polly.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't know why not. Maybe I love Myra.
Then get rid of Polly.
No, I love Polly, too. Is it wrong to love both of them for different reasons, for different things?
Yeah.
Who says so?
You keep asking. I keep telling. You say so. Your conscience says so.
Okay. I'll ask someone else.
Who? Who?
Nobody you'd know.
Sure, but who is he?
A priest.
A priest? What do you think a priest is going to tell you?
This particular priest, I don't know what he's going to tell me.
Georgie, are you sure you're all right?
Yeah, Prescott, yeah. Just now, for the first time in weeks, I feel all right.
If you don't want to take the sick week, see me later for your assignment.
Sure. This is Lieutenant Miller of the police department. I want some weather information, please. What will be the third night this month before the full moon? I have to know exactly.
I can't imagine why you'd want to come here this evening, George.
Oh, I don't know. I just want to see the exhibit again.
Well, I'd think you'd seen all you wanted of it this past month.
Well, I never really looked at things before. Did you call Captain Prescott?
Yeah. Now, why do you want him to be here?
Did he say he'd come?
He should be here any minute. Well, why do you want him?
I may need him.
For what?
Maybe for nothing. I hope for nothing.
Georgie! What's this all about?
Oh, Prescott, I'd like you to meet Miss Atkins.
Oh, we met on the phone.
How do you do? Now, Georgie, what do you want me to see?
I want to show you a robe.
A robe?
Yes. Right there.
That? That moth-eaten looking thing? What's the point?
It belongs to the priest. The one I said I was going to see.
Miss Atkins, you know what Georgie is talking about?
The robe of the high priest of the Wolf Clan. George, you're pale. Something the matter?
Polly, do you believe with all your heart that you and I, we two, we're right?
Oh, I believe it, George. I believe it. But...
don't say any more. Prescott, have you got anything to hide? Anything on your conscience?
Everybody's got something on his conscience.
No, I'm talking about something wrong that's vital to your life.
Georgie, I don't like the way you look.
You don't feel a terrible pain in your head?
Georgie.
You don't feel a tightness? It's so tight in your chest.
I think we better call a doctor.
Oh, your whole body's not on fire?
George.
On fire? Oh, then you're safe. It's me.
I'll telephone for...
No, don't go. Don't.
George, all she wants to do
no,
is...
No, I won't give her up. I won't. I can't, no matter what you say. I won't give her up. I'll kill her first.
George.
I'll kill myself.
George, put that knife back.
It's the same knife that other man used.
George. I won't give her up. I love
George.
Her.
Wait a minute.
No, let... put
George.
Go. I have to kill us both.
George.
It's the order of the high priest.
George, drop it. Drop it.
I have to. I have to.
George.
Polly.
George.
Polly, I'm sorry.
Quick, call an ambulance.
No, don't bother. The high priest, he said, funny, he said, drive her out of your heart. Even if it kills you. I drove you out of my heart. And now I have no heart at all.
Who knows who sentenced Lieutenant George Miller to death? A conscience, which everyone has? A sudden heart attack, which anyone can get? Or was it the verdict of the high priest of the ancient Wolf Clan? I'll be back shortly.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
It has been said, when a man lives with truth, there also will justice dwell. For the man of honesty and righteousness will determine the verdict for himself. He will be his own judge, his own jury, and if justice demands it, his own executioner. On this show, we deal in poetic justice every time, and we will have another case in point for you tomorrow. We hope you will continue to be interested. Our cast included Michael Tolan, Joan Shea, E.V. Juster, Ken Harvey, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I kept getting smaller and smaller. The me part of me. Do you think I'm losing my mind, Frank?
Oh, no. Don't ever think like that. I know what it is.
Then I wish you'd tell me. Just so I won't keep thinking maybe I'm going mad.
It's my stepmother.
Your stepmother?
It isn't the house. I was wrong about that. She uses the house, that's all.
I don't understand.
She's in there, Laura, in her house. Her house. They left a lot of my stepmother unburied. You're it. The thing that wants you as its living agent is what they left behind, unburied.
Frank.
When you're in that house, Laura, whenever you're in that house, you are my stepmother.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next.
Rottler calls for considerable cloudiness with chance of showers through Tuesday with partly sunny afternoons. The highs, the lower 50s tomorrow, mid-50s on Tuesday, and lows in the 30s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 45 degrees, 42 at the airport. The barometer falling at 29.97. CBS News next on KIXI Seattle. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Late reports which have just cleared wire services tell of major military action in and around Phnom Penh, Cambodia. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Japanese news agency Kyoto reported Monday morning that Cambodian insurgent forces entered the western sector of Phnom Penh. A report telexed from Phnom Penh by the agency's Cambodian staff said residential houses in the area are now on fire and citizens are converging on the central part of the capital. The report by the Japanese news agency also said the situation in Cambodia is now becoming critical. Another report, this one out of Saigon by UPI, says communist-led rebels launched a massive shelling barrage against Phnom Penh today, and a government warplane bombed military headquarters in the Cambodian capital. Radio Phnom Penh, monitored in Saigon, reported the shelling and bombing amid indications the Khmer Rouge insurgents were preparing for a final assault against the city. The radio broadcast announced a 24-hour curfew, called for calm in the capital, and told residents U.S. aid would continue by parachute drops. Two major battles continued this weekend in South Vietnam, and the government reports its forces made progress Sunday on both those fronts. The Saigon command says it reopened Highway 4, cut earlier by the communists. The highway is important because it is used to transport rice to Saigon from the Mekong Delta. The other front is near the provincial capital of Xuan Loc, 38 miles northeast of Saigon. The government command says its forces beat back another communist assault on that city. More news in a moment.
What are you building with your blocks?
I want to make a world bigger than me.
Oh, well, it looks pretty good.
Yep, except it needs more blocks.
Well, what are you putting into your world?
Trees and stores and garages.
Is there anything that you're not going to put into your world?
Hats.
No hats?
Because I'm not going to put any rain in this world.
Oh.
So nobody needs hats.
Hey, it's getting pretty big.
It's already as tall as me.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Okay.
Your world fell apart?
Yep, except I'm going to build it again.
And what kind of world are you going to build next?
A world that don't ever fall down.
You can build a better world, too. Just begin.
Can you give me that block, please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
Senator Edmund Muskie, Democrat of Maine, is the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, which will recommend a federal spending ceiling this week. Muskie says it'll be about 2.5% higher than the ceiling recommended by President Ford. Muskie also said the budget and the new tax law are aimed at improving employment and reducing inflation.
What we're hoping to trigger with the tax cut and with some of the spending programs that are included in this budget is a reduction in unemployment so that it hopefully could reach 7% at the end of 76. The inflation picture is improving. We hope that this budget will be consistent with a continued improvement in the inflation picture. And I think the rate of inflation could drop to 7% or less by the end of 1976.
Senator Muskie appeared Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Congressman Les Aspin, Democrat of Wisconsin, called Sunday night for a halt in U.S. shipments of uranium to South Africa. Aspin told CBS News he fears the material could be used to build nuclear weapons.
The agreements that are in existence are supposedly safeguards to prevent the uranium being used for other than peaceful purposes. But we've already seen, for example, in the case of the Canadian supplied uranium to India, that there are ways around these safeguards. And in the case of South Africa, in fact, the safeguards are even less likely to work because the kind of uranium that we're sending to South Africa is highly enriched uranium, and that's the kind which can be used directly into atomic weapons without any changes.
Aspen said the U.S. has shipped enough uranium to South Africa to build 4 nuclear bombs. Now this.
Hello, world. Danny Bracken here with the king of the kettles, Mike Roy, super chef himself, who's got a super soup recipe for the cook thing tomorrow on CBS. Righto?
Indeed I have. It's a cheese soup.
Cheese soup.
And I have been out gathering testimonials from all the mice I know, and they all tell me they'd rather take their cheese straight. But if you want it for soup, this is a good recipe.
You pour a little of this stuff in your mousetrap, are you? All right, well, tune in for the big cheese on the Mike Roy Cook thing tomorrow here over the CBS Radio Network.
Sometimes it's really hard to think of new ways to cut corners and save money. You probably feel you've tried just about everything and wonder where else to turn for ideas. A good source is the Consumer Information Index, which lists federal government publications that tell you how to buy better. Whether you're shopping for food, prescription drugs, cars, household equipment, or service. For a free copy of the index, write to Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, zip code 81009.
In Wheaton, Maryland, Sunday night, a man was walking through a shopping center when he pulled an automatic pistol and started shooting at people in their cars. He killed 2 people and wounded 4 others. Police shot and killed the unidentified gunman. There was no apparent motive for his actions. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the time 6 minutes past 11.